You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
It's very easy, Stugatz, because ESPN is so giant, for people to take shots at ESPN for a variety of reasons. So I'm seeing a lot of this in the coverage of what was Caitlin Clark, Iowa against South Carolina. Avery Wilkes writes on X, "This is absolutely heartbreaking for ESPN." Drew Tripp follows up with, "They must have said Caitlin Clark 257 times in the final 5 minutes of the broadcast. She's all they can talk about. She's done more for this game than anyone, blah, blah." They say, "As the back-to-back national champions celebrate off camera in the background." Then someone else writes in, Ebony Robinson, "ESPN is doing a whole package on her on SportsCenter as if she won. Zero respect for a 38-0 championship team. It's despicable."
I understand why people have that reaction. I can only speak for myself when I tell you the reason I was glued to my television on Friday night and yesterday at 3 o'clock was not because of South Carolina, although they are great, undefeated, won a national championship. The reason I was there was to watch Caitlin Clark. So people could say what they want, but someone who has never been that into women's college basketball is now into it, or at least was for the last couple of weeks, because of Caitlin Clark and that Iowa team. I know South Carolina is great. I know Dawn Staley is great. She should be the next head coach at Kentucky, but I was there. My wife was there. My kids were there because we were watching Caitlin
Clark. Basketball has done a great job of trafficking off of its star power in general. ESPN saw its highest rated basketball game ever Friday night. That's a staggering thing to say.
Yes.
Friday night on ESPN was the most watched basketball game at a time that our streaming services are more fractured than ever, our attention is more divided than ever. Friday night was the most watched basketball game in the history of the worldwide leader in sports.
You had 14.2 million viewers on a Friday night. Friday night, that's a night where families, people go out.
But I also understand why it is that people who have appreciated this sport for a long time are looking at all the newcomers. This happens with bands all the time. You want some of these things yourself. I remember it happened to us when we went to ESPN. People were all sorts of pissed off because what was theirs now got to be everyone else's. And then you get a bunch of newcomers coming and doing what you just did, which is, "Hey, I'm here now, and I've got a lot of opinions." And then next thing you know, Amin El-Hassan is a better coach than Kim Mulkey and can change everything she was doing and fix it in a day, because you get a lot of newcomers who come into the tent. But basketball, better than the other sports, football, we've talked before about the fact that they're wearing masks. They're all disposable. The only stars you get in football, stars like with mass appeal, are the quarterbacks. You know their faces. Everyone else is interchangeable. The grand majority of people listening to this probably don't know what Justin Jefferson looks like if he walks into a room.
Mostly quarterbacks, the rogue center, and a tight end.
That's right. The Kelseys and some quarterbacks.
Right.
So you need the star power to get people into the tent so that they now are interested in the emotions of Dawn Staley. So that when she's talking about the game from her vantage point, you're awed by the reverence and the perspective that she has going undefeated, articulating the greatness that you just witnessed, that she cares about. She doesn't care how people got into the tent, because you just have to be thrilled that people are in the tent. But I do understand why that then leads to, why is it that all we're talking about is Caitlin Clark? There is no one who gets to just be popular all the time. I'm sure there are many people listening to this who are tired of the Kelces and tired of Taylor Swift, tired of that. There's always a reaction to the overreaction of the media when everyone starts gathering around, and now everyone has an opinion talking about the thing, and late Friday night into Saturday morning, everyone's a college basketball referee.
If Caitlin Clark was the reason that you watched, Stu, I genuinely believe you, even though you lie about everything.
Thank you. I think
that that's great. Like, I think that's a great example of how ESPN was able to sell you her story over a season and why it was important and why it mattered. I think the criticism comes from, why couldn't we make a 38-0 season matter? Because that's a really unique and pretty rare thing to happen in women's basketball. And so I understand why fans of South Carolina, or just maybe people who aren't fans of any team in particular, are like, why didn't they get more coverage this year? And I agree with that. I was at Asia Wilson's book signing at Books and Books in Coral Gables the night that I saw Mario Cristobal and gasped on the sidewalk. And I asked her, because, you know, she played for South Carolina. She's been in the WNBA for, I guess, 5 or 6 years now. I can't do the math off the top of my head. She was drafted in 2018, I believe. She's been an MVP. She's won championships. And I asked her, how has the coverage of women's basketball changed since you became a pro? Because this year, obviously, the ratings have exploded and there's been a ton of interest in the college game. And she, part of her answer was that, you know, she felt like South Carolina wasn't getting the attention that they deserved. And this was a couple months ago. This was before the end of the season. But she was like, you know, my alma mater's undefeated right now, and I feel like we're not getting enough attention. And I think that that rings true for a lot of people. There's more than one thing that can matter in a season. And I think that Caitlin Clark getting attention is absolutely deserved. She deserves it. She is a phenomenal college basketball player. She is one of the GOATs, Dan. But I think that there's a lot of other storylines.
There can only be one GOAT.
There's a lot of other storylines in college basketball, and I think we hopefully can someday grow to have the attention span to follow multiple at once.
ESPN did not do a good job covering this. ESPN did a great job covering this. What Elle Duncan was doing on a set that has looked like no other set before it in the history of sports coverage.
Very entertaining.
Was a camaraderie, entertainment, and informative. And there were a whole lot of people who were learning in real time, because I don't know how many of those 14 million were newcomers, but it had to be a lot of them that were gathering around just to find out, what is all the fuss about? What do you mean there's a woman who could shoot with the range of Steph Curry? What do you mean that that's a thing? So the novelty of it, but it doesn't matter why it is people get into the tent. The thing to me—
Just that, get them there.
The thing that matters the most to me is that I did not know that this tent would not be large enough to hold the number of people. You are talking about football numbers. Thursday night, Amazon tried to get into the streaming game of sports by getting professional football, the easiest bet that can be made, not just in sports, in television. Their average audience on Thursday night was not what Friday night's college basketball game was. It was 4 million smaller than what Friday night's college basketball game was. And ESPN was at least in part able to cover it that way because of the sheer amount of money that was pouring in, because everyone realized at the same time, holy shit, there's a revenue stream here that must be addressed that we did not know would proliferate this way, when at the start of the pandemic, the women were complaining about how shitty their training facilities were compared to the men. That was 3 years
they
ago.
They still didn't have the correct three-point lines at one of the regionals. Like, the NCAA deserves very little credit for any of this. Like I said last week, they fell ass backwards into this. They have never given the women equal treatment to the men's tournament. They didn't even let them call it March Madness until 2 years ago. So let's not, yeah, like, it's not like the times have changed. They haven't. But I think one of the things that this tournament in particular has going for it, and why it's such a disgrace that this hasn't happened sooner, is that everyone knows the March Madness format. Everyone understands it's a single elimination tournament and knows what the stakes are. They know how hard it is to win a national championship and what happens if you lose. Your season's over. Only one team ends with a win at the end of their season. And so it's really easy for a casual fan to jump in and understand immediately what the stakes are. And you can't compare that to a Thursday night football game. I love football, don't get me wrong, but like there is no comparison to that with what we saw this weekend, especially Friday night with UConn and Iowa. And also, I think there's a real like brand recognition thing that people have, A, with Caitlin Clark, because she's in tons of commercials. She's a superstar. She's on billboards, everything. But also, Iowa is a brand everyone knows because it's a humongous university. UConn is a brand everyone knows. They've won 11 national championships. It's just, it's easy for a casual fan to just jump in and immediately understand what the stakes are. And I think that, like you said, ESPN, especially with the panel they had during the tournament with Shanae and Andrea Carter and Elle Duncan, did a really, really good job of breaking every single thing down and explaining it to the audience. And they should get tons and tons of credit for that. And I think that if ESPN is smart, they'll make that a weekly show, even in the off season, and they'll just continue to build up more and more storylines because there is more than just Caitlin Clark. And I don't know. It was just awesome to see how many people tuned in, and it might be hard to replicate that, but hopefully, you know, the networks pick up and realize more coverage equals more eyeballs.
When you say stakes, though, yes, of course, the one-and-done stakes are something that is March Madness from the beginning of time, and yet nothing approaches football. I don't care if it's a Thursday night game streaming or not.
I'm still shocked by it. Nothing approaches football.
When you look at the top 100 shows on television every year, it's always 96 football games, and then somebody interviewed a prince in a scandal or something. Oprah interviewed somebody. But the idea that Amazon, okay, Amazon's making a giant bet. First of all, I can't believe, Stugatz, when I watch some of these broadcasts, Apple, for example, what they're doing with baseball, their coverage, what I'm watching, is stupendous. It is unbelievably good, crisp camera work that I don't think people understand how hard it is for the streaming services, how much money it takes to broadcast a game successfully. What's needed there? Amazon has all the money in the world, did it on Thursday nights impeccably. The idea, this is, if you had told me at any time in my life, Jessica, that there are any amount of stakes that I could put on any game anywhere and it would do better than a streaming service attaching itself to professional football on Thursday night, I would have told you football has to have collapsed. Something bad has to have happened to football. It can't be that another sport has come in and gotten better numbers than football.
Yeah, but the difference is that my parents don't know how to turn on Amazon.
Yep.
You know what? They do know how to use cable.
Yep. There were probably 3 million people just like, how do you do this again?
It's buffering.
The Wi-Fi password.
The Wi-Fi's out.
What is it, buffering?
So many people on hold.
Yeah.
Also, like the thing we've said about Thursday Night Football for years is like, man, these games suck.
Oh. Yeah, but it's still football.
Agreed. No one's going to dispute.
Titans, Jags.
Look, you're right. It's always the Jags. It's always the Titans, always in disrepair. No one's arguing that it's good football. We're just saying it's football.
Hey, it's Mike. As you know, sports are a bit crazy right now. It kind of feels like everything is happening all at once, and you have to make some decisions to prioritize if you want to support your team or go out and see some of these games. Well, I've got a recommendation for you. As someone that loves sports and loves attending live sporting events, you're always hunting the secondary market for hard-to-find tickets. I've been out there in those streets, and I know the best possible place for me and you is Game Time. It's an incredible app that is so upfront with its pricing. It's an authorized ticket marketplace of the NBA, which makes getting playoff tickets even faster and easier. Game Time, tons of last-minute deals. You can save up to 60% off buying last minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. Take the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
Don Levitard.
Let's go, Islanders. Bump, bump. Bump, bump, bump.
Stugatz.
Let's go, Islanders. Bump,
bump, bump, bump, bump.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugats.
It is time for Stugats to share his game notes. No one in the media will tell you what happened better than my boy Stu.
Weekend observations. Excuse me. Brought to you by Miller Lite. Great taste. Just 96 calories available for delivery. I got rid of it, Roy. I think. I did
it's
it.
Probably not.
You haven't gotten rid of it. It's still there. We can hear
now
it.
Now I did. It's gone. Dan, over 20 years of doing this show with you, it's the only thing I've been consistent about, that this week is the best week on the sports calendar. Can you smell it, Dan? Spring is in the air. Magnolia Lane, Amen Corner, Butler Cabin, and of course, the azaleas. Ah, the azaleas. The sights, the sounds. Hello, friends. And Dan, just like that, make no mistake about it, Masters Week is back. You excited? Little flyer on Tiger? Huh?
Chris Cody says he's betting Tiger at 100-1.
I mean, I bet him every week to begin with, and now you get a little juice with him. I mean, geez.
Who are you taking?
I don't care.
Speaking of back, Razorbacks. How about that?
Yeah, they are.
UConn, Purdue, rare game where whoever wins, their coach goes to Kentucky. Norby Williamson out at ESPN. Does that mean I can go back now? Huh? Dan, you know what the N in Norby stands for? Not a moment too soon. Here's the problem with the foul call at the end of the UConn-Iowa game. It was a foul. An obvious foul. Everyone, stop complaining. Nika Mule, defensive stopper. Headline, Tiger Woods has stopped having sex to prepare for the Masters. Tiger, got news for you. Hasn't helped my game. Little flyer? Huh?
No.
Probably not the day to do this. I don't want to do this. I'm not going to do this.
You are going to do it.
I'm going to do it. Dan, you know what this C in Caitlin Clark stands for?
Oh, no.
Not championships. I definitely don't want to do this. I'm not doing this.
You're going to do it.
Dan, you know what the C in Clark stands for?
Not clutch.
Chris Paul.
Oh, wow.
CP3. No way. Not doing this today. I'm not doing this. This is where I draw the line. Not doing it.
No, this is equality.
Top five women's basketball players of all time. OLI, Caitlin Clark.
Wow.
Whoa. Whoa.
Number five, Shamika Holtzclaw. Number four, Brittany Griner. Number three, Diana Taurasi. Thank you. Number two, Cheryl Miller. And number one, Breonna Stewart. Stewie.
No Candace Parker. Wow.
Sorry. Only five.
It's his list.
Yeah.
Not even an OLI, though.
Caitlin.
Maya Moore.
Ooh, Maya Moore. Damn it. Dan, you're Kentucky. Coach K calls. What do you do? What do you do?
Why would Coach K be calling?
Why wouldn't he call?
Because he's retired. Because he's done.
You know what the K in Coach K stands for, Dano?
Kentucky.
Hey.
I thought you were going to go call there.
I should have. Damn it. See you, Coach. What do you do? Anthony Rendon batting .094.
94.
I like to go .094.
And he likes to approach it as if there's a giant speed bump before it.
The A in Anthony Rendon stands for automatic outs. You're right. Speed bump. Total speed bump. For $35 million a year, Rendon went 278 days between hits. For context, he had a teammate this year that got drafted, got promoted to single A, double A, then the majors, between hits, $35 million.
My late grandfather and his late brother used to say more than any other words in their life in Spanish, that guy is an out dressed as a baseball player. That's the phrase they most use.
Couple of late guys cutting it up.
A couple of dead guys cutting it up. Not a couple of late guys cutting it up.
Well, you said the late.
I know. It doesn't mean that they were tardy.
I don't want to be too heavy-handed. Yes, I didn't know if you were over it yet.
So it's like a god disguised as Michael Jordan, but it's like this guy is disguised as an out.
That's right. No, an out that's dressed as a baseball player. There's no disguise involved. It's just
is an out.
It's just an out, and it's dressed as a baseball player.
Zach Edey, after 10 years of bully ball at Purdue, it's about time you've had to pick on someone your own size. Almost.
There's no one his size.
Donovan Klingon. Kling Kong. I am not staying up for this game. LeBron James commenting on the foul at the end of the Iowa-UConn game. All of a sudden, everyone's got an opinion on women's college basketball. Jesus, LeBron. You know what the J in LeBron James stands for, Dan?
I do not.
Johnny come lately. Where's he been?
I guess it would be a James come lately in his case.
Maybe. New York Knicks, I'm begging you. Please get him.
Now what? What are you doing? You were actively not wanting him a month ago.
Treat him as the number one overall pick. Do whatever you have to do to get Bronny. He gets you LeBron. The Knicks, Dan, are a Bronny away. He would fit in nicely there.
Your words mean nothing. A month ago, you're right. I was looking at you a month ago. Listen, what do you mean you don't want LeBron James?
You're acting like I'm arguing with you.
Well, the Knicks were winning games
back
then.
They lost Randall. Not arguing with you. You said my words mean nothing. I agree with you.
Plus, a 2-for-1. You got Bronny also. I mean, why not?
Right. Upside. Katie Martin doesn't get enough credit. She's a good player. Not enough credit.
I think it's Kate.
No one's talking about her. That's why. That's why I don't know, because no one's talking about her. Katie, how would I know? No one says her name, and her friends call her Katie.
But
I mean,
in terms of her not getting credit, what's worse, her not getting credit or you demanding for credit
and
not
knowing her name? If someone gave her credit, I would know her name.
I mean, yeah.
Not on me. It's on Rutko.
Yeah, of course.
Cindy Falter, also not enough credit.
Agreed. Faulty.
It's unbelievable.
Her name's Sydney. I said the wrong name.
Hey. Tom Ricca. Lisa Blutter?
I'm asking. What are you doing?
What are you doing?
Well, she said Kate Martin was the glue to the Iowa basketball team. Glue girl? How do we handle this stuff?
What stuff?
Johnny come lately over
saying
here.
Girl?
What stuff?
I don't know.
How do we handle what? What's the
anything.
Confusing stuff talking
it's
about?
It's all on Rutko.
Okay, it's all on Rutko.
That we can agree on.
Masters week, Dana. Eclipse. Eclipse. Spencer Strider, out for the year. Shane Bieber, out for the year. In 2020, Steven Strasburg signed a 7-year $245 million contract. Since he signed that contract, he started 8 games, went 1-4 with a 9.62 ERA. You sign a pitcher to a long-term big contract, you get what you deserve. Biebs. If you combine the Mets and the Marlins, they would still get swept by the Dodgers. Chauncey Billups. Inducted into basketball's Hall of Fame, Dan. Mr. Big Shot.
Inducted.
Speed bump.
Eclipse.
Masters week. Eclipse. Rutko. If it was up to Nick fans, Jalen Brunson would get a statue outside of Madison Square Garden, the Mecca. He is good, man. Anyway.
Yes. He's really good.
Yeah, no one expected him to be this good. Nobody. I know. Nobody.
That's true.
Crazy. He doesn't do it often, but when Giancarlo Stanton makes contact with a baseball, I feel bad for the baseball. Taking a flyer. Tiger Woods to win the Masters at plus $13,000. I love a good flyer. In honor of Masters Week, top five people in sports and entertainment that connote the Masters. It's a good one, Dan. O-L-I. J.J. Putz. Josh Birdie. Number five. Anyone with a last name Butler. Anyone. Brent.
Jimmy.
Jimmy.
Did you just make it Brent Butler or Brett?
Well, there was a Brent and a Brett.
There was?
A lot of people don't know this, okay? But there was a Brent Butler and a Brett Butler.
Who is Brent Butler?
Look it up.
Okay, there it is. There's
a musical artist named Brent Butler.
Thank you.
Brent Butler played for three seasons between 2001 and 2003 for the Colorado Rockies.
He was talking about the leadoff man for the Braves.
He obviously was not talking about this person.
He's not talking about the comedian Brent Butler.
Why don't you just pick someone?
Number four.
Because he's lazy.
Is it Master P?
Josh Birdie or John Birdie?
Look it up. Number three, Ben Coates. You like that one?
Oh, yeah, it's good.
Great tight end. Number two, Iggy Azalea. And number one, Amen Thompson. Here come the Royals.
It's not called the Green Coat. I hated that list.
Wow! It is called the Green Coat.
It's called the Green Jacket.
It doesn't. Bubba Watson said he had two green coats. He told me that. He's won two of them. He said green coat.
Dan has a couple green coats, too. Not the same as the jacket. A
couple of green coats, cutting it up.
What he actually told us is that they only get one.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get another one if you win another Masters.
Mm-hmm.
That's bullshit. Yeah, it is.
It's not called a coat.
It just isn't. And he's not a great tight end.
There was no one named Jacket.
I feel crazy right now. I'm leaving. I have to
Ben
pee.
Coates.
Green coats.
I don't know the difference between a jacket and a coat. Put it on the poll, Juju at Levitard Show. Roy, what are you laughing? Are you laughing about? I have to leave. I'm going to pee.
Yes, verbatim.
I'm going to pee. This Stugatz's brand of laziness is now infecting everyone.
What
she
do you
was
mean?
Eating during the first hour and she just left during the segment saying she's got to pee.
The Bucks were 30-13 when they fired Adrian Griffin. The Bucks are 15-17 with Doc Rivers. Grass isn't always greener, Dano.
Man, that is weird to watch them lose to these bad teams. I know the Knicks last night are not a bad team, but the three before that are bad, and it's weird to watch them struggle like that.
Can't wait to see who Doc blames after losing in the first round. Doc Rivers' diagnosis is never himself. Purdue and UConn, 9:20 p.m. my ass. No chance in hell I'm staying up to watch that. Speaking of hell, Art Briles. Dan, those are the weekend observations.
Don Lebatard.
Punctuate this segment with what is your strike three call?
Well, strike one would be strike! And then you stand up and you give a good point to the right.
Stugatz.
That's same for strike two. Okay. But strike three, you get down low. You got your hands behind the catcher. All right. The right arm goes up into the air. Yeah! And then you finish it with the punch. The right arm flings way up into the air. Yeah! Yeah!
I wish I could see that. It's terrible.
Audio's great.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
A couple of months ago, Stugatz, I had mentioned when talking about the amount of theft and desperation that are everywhere in our country at the moment, that Amazon packages, I can't imagine how much money is being lost in people simply stealing packages that are being left somewhere. And I saw a video over the weekend that made me laugh at the lengths that someone was going to steal a package because there are so many Ring cameras and doorbell cameras that are allowed to catch people while they're thieving. And I saw somebody dressed as a garbage bag walk slowly up to the door and basically swallow a package, and I hadn't seen it done that way. It was a level of desperation that I had not considered. It looks very much like a garbage bag. I just don't understand why you wouldn't just wear a mask. I don't understand. Can you guys walk me through what you imagine this thieve's game plan was? Was this thief thinking that no one, this thief was, because look, that's the
old
thief,
moving garbage bag,
the thief walking backwards. It looks very much like a garbage bag. You'd have to look pretty closely to see that there are sneakers involved there.
You don't get height, you don't get weight, you don't get skin color. This is genius. Like, I know, this is funny for the giggles of, oh, a person in a trash bag. This is as good as it gets. Might as well be an invisibility cloak.
I think you're being reckless. I don't know. This isn't just a magic trash bag.
That's right.
Yeah.
If this thief was smarter, they would have walked a couple feet and stayed still for an hour.
I should have done that.
Walked a couple more feet, stayed still for an hour. And then if you're watching the security footage, you're like, okay, there's just a bag there. And then
hold on a second.
Is that bag moving?
They're in slides. You can see toes if you look very closely.
Huh.
Hold on a second. Look at the turn.
Oh yeah.
Wait for the turn. Yeah. You're gonna see the tips of toesies here. Hold on.
Oh, they're not. Flip-flops.
There they are.
You're right. They're not sneakers.
There's some toes.
Chris, is this the toe that was under your stall in the bathroom at Oktoberfest?
These are what kind of? Those are like pantuflas. Like what are those? Those are like fuzzy slippers.
I think those are like the modern day slip-ons that you see everywhere.
Yeah. The performance slides. Yeah. Yeah. They're slides. Everywhere. Yeah. Huh.
Got that thick bottom.
Kind of nice.
Pricey. They're honestly pricey slides.
Unless they're fake toes.
I was going to say the same thing. They're like $80 slides.
Foes.
It's not very efficient, though, in terms of trying to move quickly. In and out, you know.
But it is well concealed. We can agree that the concealment is pretty complete, although I would say that those particular pantuflas are indeed incriminating. I don't know if there are many just like that. They seem to be a little different than most I see.
Can't believe you would go through the lengths of covering your entire body and then wear shoes that don't cover your feet like that, especially considering the athletic element of it's way easier to stumble or twist your ankle wearing these sandals, unless it was just a challenge to themselves.
You can't believe that there would be an inefficiency in this plan?
Yeah.
You're well thought out. You're stunned that there would be holes in this particular caper?
Well, there are no holes in the garbage bag,
this,
man.
This heist is something that you think is imperfect.
Look, I've never seen it before. This is a creative effort, and if they're going through that effort, I'm surprised it wasn't a foolproof plan.
I just love, because in theory, this person could have just walked like a human, and as long as your upper torso, you're not going to see anything. But this person was thinking, if I stay low enough, they're going to think that I'm just a trash can. Like, in this person's mind, he's like, I don't know how I can get caught. I don't know how I can get caught here.
Trash bag, and I'm willing to say this, Billy, while it's nice of you to always be that careful, that's a dude. There's
no evidence.
There's a level of dumb there.
I like to believe that reckless. Women can be criminals too, Dan.
I like to believe
equality.
That men are the only ones capable of this profound stupidity.
Well, the thing about this is this person knows the person they stole from. Like, I'm going to go out and assume they know the person that they're stealing from because they know that package is getting there that day and what it is. And when you're wearing those shoes, your friend's going to recognize those shoes. Oh. This person messed this up.
Yes, we've covered that. However, what I would say to you is I don't understand why you would object to my absolute conviction on that being a man, and then you think it's not reckless to hypothesize that this is clearly a person that knows the person that they're stealing from. Like, which do you think is more accurate, your assumption or my assumption that it's a man, my assumption that that has to be a man doing that, or your assumption that that has to be a thief who knows who they're stealing from?
I mean, historically, like murders and stuff like that, it's usually someone that you know.
I got a hypothetical.
And a man.
This guy, it's a guy for sure in this hypothetical. This guy ordered something to his house that was inappropriate. He was ashamed to pick it up, so he covered himself, made it seem like it was stolen, but really it's actually him and it's actually his.
He robbed himself?
He robbed himself just so his wife or spouse never realized what that was. Maybe the wife saw the package and was like, did you order this? He's like, I would never order that. What are you talking about?
Or it got delivered to the wrong address. So it got delivered to the neighbor and they were embarrassed about what they ordered.
So this isn't even a crime. This person's just going and picking up what they ordered.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Just saving themselves from the shame of everyone knowing what it is that they ordered.
I would argue that women know how to crouch like this from years of crouching over public restroom toilet seats, so and therefore I could see an argument.
Interesting. Wow.
You think that might be a woman?
Never put your butt cheeks on the seat, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Big squatter.
She nailed it.
Hmm.
Speaking of video, I'd like to show people the latest video that incriminates that blight of against my people, Angel Hernandez, worst umpire in the history of basically making judgments. Put it on the poll, please, Juju, at Lebatard Show. Is Angel Hernandez the worst person in the history of judgment?
It's his job.
It is his job, that's right, to be an arbiter. But the umpires union is very strong. Let's play here some for the audience, some video of Angel Hernandez being maximum Angel Hernandez. Here is some B-roll of a check swing, like clearly not a swing.
Could not have swung less.
It would be hard.
Could have swung less.
It would be hard to swing less than that, though. It's clearly not a half swing. It's not even a check swing.
A single part of the bat goes over the plate.
Yeah.
If you're just listening, it is just a terrible call.
High and tight pitch. It nearly hits the batter in the hands. And essentially the only movement is as they're going forward in their motion like they normally would to swing, is pulling their hands back into their chest.
Yeah.
How does this guy have a job?
I wish every union was as good as the umpires union.
In Angel's defense, do you think, hey, who would swing at that? Like the mere fact that you started a swing, you know what? You swung.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, it's high and inside, high and tight, Dano.
Is Angel Hernandez
chim music
in that, forgive me for not understanding or seeing in the video, was Angel Hernandez the first base umpire there who was making the call, or was he from behind the plate so confident that he didn't even have to go to first base to see if there was a check swing that was a strike?
He did the point thing, like, nope, that's a swing.
That he was the home plate umpire?
Yes.
He didn't even go check with somebody else. He was just had a great deal of conviction about his own.
I got this one, first base coach, umpire.
It is. All right, let me see some more. Do we have some more just Angel Hernandez video being maximum Angel Hernandez? What is this, Billy?
This is Angel getting mad at the Yankees pitcher. So a lot was going on in this game yesterday between the Yankees and the Blue Jays. I believe this was the second incident. So what happened earlier in the game was the Blue Jays pitcher kind of stumbled off of the mound and then decided to throw the pitch anyways. Gleyber Torres was batting, and he was like, whoa, how is that allowed? He didn't like re-engage. He didn't look at me. He just threw the ball, and it was clearly a ball, and Angel called it a strike regardless. So on that play, multiple things went wrong. So there was chirping back and forth, and neither team was really all that happy. See, that was the one that I was talking about right there, where the pitcher kind of stumbles off the mound, throws it anyways, and he's like, hey, like, what's going on here? And Angel's like, nope, that's a strike. Aaron Boone went out there. He was arguing, like, how is that allowed? Because I believe it was the third strike, and that ended the at-bat, and he's like, this should not be allowed. Everyone was a little bit unhappy with Angel yesterday. So then their pitcher, Luis Gil, of the New York Yankees, he did not engage with a Blue Jays batter, which is what didn't happen with the Blue Jays pitcher. And then Angel decided he wanted to enforce this rule. And then he was telling him, no, you're not allowed to throw the ball anymore. So Angel walked out in between the hitter and the pitcher to make kind of a scene and say, hey, you were wrong about that. And that wasn't even Angel's worst thing of the day yesterday, because Angel had one that went right down the middle that he called the ball.
What do you think his perception of himself is?
Oh, he loves himself.
He laughs at himself. Do you think he says it's a perception out there, I'm a damn good umpire? Or is he just like, I got this whole thing fooled. I got everyone fooled.
I think he's great for baseball.
I do too. I like him.
I love him. I think every team should, when you're blessed with an Angel Hernandez game, you know it's going to be wacky. Yeah. It's going to be something that you haven't seen in quite a while for your team. Everything is getting so precise. Umpires are getting better and better every year based off the data that we've seen with pitch tracking, even though everybody wants robot umps, except for Angel Hernandez. And it's always going to be ridiculous. You're always going to be, both teams are always going to be upset. It's great for baseball.
The thing is, Angel's really doing a service to baseball if you think about it, because they brought replay into it, and it was a situation where it's like, well, now there's replays here. So you can't really dispute a call. You can't have the manager go out there and argue anything, because they'll just go to replay, and then the replay tells you what it is that happened, and that's it. That's the end of the story. But Angel finds a way to kind of get around replay, because he'll do this in plays that are not reviewable. So he's brought back the element of the manager coming out and being like, what the hell is going on here?
In full
uniform. And arguing with him in full uniform, because he does these on all these plays that aren't reviewable.
Do you realize how rare it is to have someone this incompetent never get any consequences?
No.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.